Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. And they were bringing children to him, that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Here ends the reading of the Word of God. The grass withers and the flower fades. The Word of our Lord endures forever. Jesus says, to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, if you understand what Jesus meant by that, you understand the nature of Jesus' ministry. You understand the nature of the gospel. This morning we have a portrait, a vignette, an episode in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ that illustrates that the disciples yet, even at this late stage in Jesus' ministry, had not fully understood the nature of Jesus' ministry. And so Jesus uses the opportunity of bringing children into his arms and folding them in his embrace to demonstrate not just some sentimental attachment to children, but to show us the nature of the gospel. And that is what you must see. The gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. First of all, the need for that correction, the need for this instruction. Why must this lesson be learned? We hear the story that at this late stage in Jesus' ministry, Jesus is among the people. And a number of fathers, we're told in the text, a number of fathers bring their children. In fact, the language in the original indicates that they're not just small children, they're infant children. They're children who must be carried. Jesus receives them or is about to receive them. when these parents, these fathers, are stopped. The fathers stop them, or the disciples stop the fathers and say, the master's too busy. The master has more important things to attend to. Keep your distance. Jesus becomes indignant. Indignant, mind you, boys and girls. Not just a little peeved. Not just slightly upset. He is indignant. Angry. Just as he was when he saw the temple in Jerusalem and the money changers, and he takes the whip, that scourge, and chases the money changers out of the temple. So too, at this point, he is indignant because of what he has seen his disciples do. But what's the problem? What's the problem? The problem, congregation, is a fundamental misunderstanding of the nature of Jesus' ministry. Why do the disciples push back these fathers? It is because the disciples think that Jesus has more important things to do than to spend his time blessing these children. He can't be bothered with these sorts of things. He has a kingdom to establish. He's been talking about this kingdom from day one in his public ministry. John the Baptist already had said in his ministry, the kingdom is here. Repent, believe. And the disciples say, how can children, how can little helpless infants be a part of that kingdom? What can they do? What can they do? Here's the problem. The problem with the disciples is that despite the fact that Jesus had displayed to them the nature of this kingdom, the nature of sovereign grace, in the healing of lepers, and the bringing of the dead back to life, and associating with the poor, the outcasts, the off-scouring of society, they still did not understand what is involved in entrance into the kingdom of heaven. When the disciples witnessed the healing, they said, we know what Jesus is doing here. We know exactly what Jesus is doing. He's healing someone in order to make them an ambassador, a mouthpiece, so that they can get up, the lame person, and walk and tell the story of Jesus of Nazareth. The person who's blind receives his sight so that he can bear witness to others of what Jesus has done. The fundamental problem is that they see entrance into the kingdom of heaven as a matter of achievement. It's a matter of competence. It's a matter of what you are able to do, having encountered Jesus of Nazareth, having heard the message, having been blessed, having been healed by him, having heard his preaching. Now, what will you do to achieve that blessing of entering into the kingdom? This is why Jesus is indignant. It's not simply a matter of poor manners on the part of the disciples. It is a distortion of the gospel. So therefore, there is a need. There is a fundamental need here in our text for instruction, for correction. That's what we see secondly. Jesus' correction. The point of his message. He says, let the little children come to me. For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Let them come to me. What's the point of his message? The point of his message is that these children are the very essence, they are the very demonstration of his message of the kingdom. The disciples say, no, we have no use for these babies. What can they do? What can they achieve? How competent are they to serve as ambassadors of Jesus of Nazareth? And Jesus says indignantly, no, the kingdom belongs to them. Because they are living witnesses of the fact that one enters into the kingdom of heaven not by one's own competency, not by one's own achievement, not by pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, but by being brought And you saw again this morning, Mike and George bringing infants to the font. What a beautiful description. What a beautiful reenactment of the gospel. How are we brought into the kingdom of heaven? Was it a decision that you made? Was it some moment in your life that you now decided that you would stand and go forward and that you would declare to God, this is what I have done. This is what I've achieved. This is to demonstrate my testimony to you. Is that how we enter into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says, absolutely not. And this is a fundamentally important issue. Because there are many who will say to you, we can't baptize these infants. We can't baptize these babies. They're not aware of what's going on. They haven't made a profession of faith. We can't look into their hearts to know whether they believe or not. And Jesus says, that's not the point. Jesus says to his disciples, entrance into the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of competence. It's not a matter of your achievements. It's not a matter of your testimony. The focus this morning is not upon the testimony of some child or some adult saying, now I have made this decision. This is what I declare before God. No, it is of God saying to us, these babies, these little girls, belong to me. To such belong the kingdom of heaven. Which children? The children who are brought. The children who are carried. Jesus expands on that in the third place to a general principle about the nature of the kingdom. Unless you become like a little child, said Jesus, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Believe me, there are plenty of people who will tell you when they look at that text or when they hear that text, they'll say, well, Jesus' focus here. Jesus' focus here is upon the innate qualities of children. That children are inherently trusting or they're without guile. I'm not sure that any parent believes that, that children are inherently without guile. Proverbs says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. But there are many people who make the fundamental error here at this text by drawing attention to the nature of the child. So that what Jesus is commending is a childlike attitude. When in fact, that is not the emphasis at all. The emphasis of Jesus is not on the attitude of children. The emphasis of Jesus is on the nature of the kingdom. It is upon the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. How does He receive people into the kingdom? It is by grace. And that's why subsequent to that event, the rich young ruler comes and says, these laws, these commandments, I've kept from my youth. And I believe that he was utterly sincere when he said that. He was not a braggart. He was not simply exaggerating to impress Jesus. I truly believe that with all sincerity, he said, I have kept this law. Now, whether he understood the implications of the law, we don't know. That may be a different matter altogether. But then Jesus says, give up your possessions. And the man turns away sorrowful. And continuing that theme, Jesus says, oh, and listen carefully this morning, congregation, North American congregation, Northwest Indiana congregation, affluent American congregation, listen carefully. Jesus says how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And yet we have so many of our young people being told, either by our own example, or by the media around us, or by their peers, that the end-all, be-all of life is the accumulation of possessions. To have more than the next guy. To live well.
to live in luxury, to retire early. That's what life is all about. And Jesus says, be careful. Oh, be so careful. It is difficult. It is impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples, understandably, they understand now. Well, if that's the case, Jesus, who can be saved? Who can be saved? Which brings them to the point of crisis. The point of crisis at which they realize, through the Spirit's instruction, through Jesus' words here, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So to the point and the application is very simple. We enter into the kingdom of heaven not by our own achievement, not by boasting about the good things that we have done, not by looking at our contributions. We enter into the kingdom of heaven by God's grace. We enter in through faith. And even that faith is not something which we initiate. It is the gift of God, says Paul to the Ephesians. And finally, there's not only instruction needed, there's instruction given, a point made, an application given. But there's also now a demonstration. Jesus takes these children and receives them. He enfolds them in his arms. Linger with me for just a moment on that image of Jesus touching these children and how important in Jesus' ministry touching is. He touches a leper, and the leper is cured. Put yourself in the first century context. To touch a leper meant you were an outcast. You could not enter into the temple area. You were ceremonially defiled. And what does Jesus do? He touches. And by touching, he is not contaminated, but he cleanses the one who is sick. Jesus touches those who are downcast, those who are sorrowful. Jesus enfolds them in his love and his care. And so too this morning, Jesus has done this with two of the infants of our congregation. How ought we to look at these babies? I've asked that question of you many times now, but I want you to think about that. Is there any reason to think that these babies that were baptized this morning are any different than the children of unbelieving parents? The answer in the Bible is an absolute yes. There is a difference. Not because of something we inherently possess. Not because we can look into the hearts of little children. No, the answer is they have been consecrated by God. God said, they belong to me. And Jesus does the same thing. He now touches these children. This was a practice going back generations among the Jews of a priest, rabbi, teacher, a father figure taking children and touching them, putting his hand upon them as a sign of blessing, as a sign of consecration. So too this morning, baptism is, in effect, the Lord Jesus putting his hand of blessing upon Anna and upon Avery. Isn't that a wonderful thing this morning to think about as parents? That there is the blessing, there is the promise given to our children this morning. That God is a God to you and to your children. So that when he gives the command now, nurture them, as overwhelming as that may seem to us parents, the Lord says, what I demand, I will also supply. I want you to instruct these children. I want them to respond to their baptism by professing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not as though the Lord says to these children, now I've done my part. I've done my part. I've done my share. Now it's up to you. I've cast my vote. Now we have to wait for the child to cast his or her vote. Get that out of your minds right now. The message of the gospel is, no, I have given my blessing, but I have also given my command. Walk, believe, obey, profess. And so from this point on, everything is geared toward that moment when that child will profess his or her faith. Parents, this is your obligation as well. Nurture, instruct, set a godly example. As the Westminster Standards speak of it, your children are called to improve their baptism, to give their amen to what God has done. So what did you see this morning? There are some who would say, well, we didn't see very much. We may have heard a baby crying. We may have heard children fussing. But we didn't hear much. Oh, I want to tell you, you've heard a lot. What you've heard and what you've witnessed, which was performed not only for the benefit of the Cornwell and the Van Leyden family, but for all of us, what we've heard is the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. A kingdom that we enter into, not by our own competence, not by our own achievements, but as helpless babies who are carried in. What's the application this morning? It would almost be a contradiction, wouldn't it, if I were to give you a list of five things now that you must do in response to this message. You see why I say that? Oh, be careful. Be so careful when we talk about application, what we mean by that. The application of Jesus' message this morning is very simple. It is believe. Embrace. Swallow. If it were food, swallow. When it is God's grace, enjoy. May God bless us as we have witnessed this morning. No mere ceremony. No mere formality. And certainly no superstitious rite. No, we've witnessed the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. Let's pray.
Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless this message to our hearts this morning as parents, to Mike and Andrea, and to George and Heather, that they would be encouraged and comforted by these words of Jesus Christ, to know that their children are embraced in his loving arms, not because of some achievement on their part, but because they are members of the covenant family. And for all of us, Father, may this be a reminder as well of the goodness that you have shown to us in Jesus Christ. That this kingdom is a kingdom of grace. And that faith is a gift of your Spirit. Father, may we take to heart the words of Jesus that we must be like those children. There is something that grates against sinful human nature when we hear those words. We want to speak of achievement. We want to have some evidence of what we've accomplished, at least in part, and the work of our salvation. But, oh Father, we pray that by your Spirit's work, we would come to see that our salvation from beginning to end is not, first of all, our work. It is the work of your sovereign love. So bless this message, we pray, to our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen.